Amen.
Thank you so much, and please be seated. So, first and foremost, good morning. I'd like to bid blessings to you all, and peace be multiplied. And on behalf of Pastor J.D. Farag, I'd like to welcome you here this Sunday morning to Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. And those of you who are visiting us for the first time, we'd like to welcome you with a special warm welcome. And pray that you're blessed by the love and fellowship that you'll receive here, as well as be blessed by the eternal word of God. Now, I do want to remind everyone about our prayer meeting coming up this Tuesday, in fact, 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. I'm looking forward to seeing all that are able to make it so we can pray as a body. Also, be able to obtain additional information that Pastor J.D. will put out, Lord willing, that will focus our prayers a little bit, also inform us of what's going on locally and what we're doing as a church as a whole. And so if you're able to come, please do so. We'll look forward to seeing you because we need to pray as much as we can. It is an amazing weapon. It really is. And so pray, and then pray some more. Praise the Lord for that. Now on Sunday mornings, we have two services in which this is the second service. And for our second service this morning, I would invite you to join me in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, picking it up in verse 14. And I will also ask all who are able to stand to do so for the reading of the scriptures this morning, and followed by a word of prayer. Again, we are in 2 Peter, chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. The word of God reads, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to those things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures." So why don't we pray and ask for the blessing from the Lord on this teaching this morning. Father in heaven, we come to you with our hearts bowed, asking that you would indeed bless this time that you have given to us, that we indeed freely give back, because everything we have is from you. We ask that you would just minister to us in that special, unique way by the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us new spiritual eyes and new spiritual ears to hear your word of truth, that we may be excellent ambassadors until you return for your church. So, Lord, speak to us. We thank you for what you're going to do by the power and strength of your might and your might alone. In the mighty name of Jesus, the Christ, we do pray. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Please be seated and thank you once again. Now, we're going to be continuing with part two of our teaching titled A History of Grace. And if you're just joining us, we will conduct a brief review that should shed light on what we are discussing, as well as where we are in this teaching. But before we get to it, I wanted to begin with these passages captured in 2 Peter in order to highlight a portion of verse 15 and all of verse 16, just to show you where I'm going. And the word of God reads again, "As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you." Verse 16. "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures." couple of things in here. For one, the epistles are scripture. Do you see that captured here? For two, some things that we are going to talk about may be hard to understand. It may just be, but God will reveal them as we need. Even though they may be hard, we should discuss it and not dismiss it. What we're going to do today, and have been doing since first service, is different from most teachings, but very necessary, and I would even say that it's more in line with what the scriptures reveal when it comes to teaching the Word of God. So, we will continue to exercise the scriptures contextually to prove a couple of major points that we began in first service. And those points are to show that we are living in an age of grace that the history of God's grace has never seen. And to show that the good news of God's grace on all mankind all points to Christ, but has differences. And it's within those differences that I believe shows the fullness of the amazing grace of God, the fullness of the glory of God, and the infallibility of His Word. There is nothing like it. Nothing. Nor will there ever be anything like the Word of God. Now, let's conduct a quick review on what we discussed in part one. So we started off with reading a few verses captured in the book of Acts, where the Apostle Paul would be recorded saying to the elders in Ephesus that he was headed to Jerusalem, most likely never to be seen by them again. It was basically him giving a final farewell, so to speak. And in that address, he reminded them that he spoke to them the whole counsel of God. But it's in verses 24 and 25 of Acts chapter 20 that brings about this teaching that we are doing today. And so that you can understand what I mean, the Word of God reads, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more." So we have this statement regarding a ministry called the gospel of the grace of God, as well as the preaching of the kingdom of God. So at first read, some may ask, well, what's the issue? Well, there's not an issue unless you don't understand the issue. Then there's an issue. And the issue is, when we make the gospel of the grace of God completely synonymous with the good news of the kingdom of God, we end up taking away from the Word of God . And left unchecked, many problems can and often will creep in and already have to the church. So we discuss that the case can indeed be made that the gospel of the grace of God expands through the history of mankind into eternity. But from the scriptures, we are shown that the grace of God has been distributed systematically in order to point the whole of humanity to Jesus. Adam was told after he sinned against God that by the seed of the woman, redemption would come. This salvation of grace was preached and received by Noah, who was not polluted by the demonic acts on humanity. God punished the world via the flood, saving 8 souls who would repopulate the earth. And once again, the rebellion against God would rise and reach a breaking point with the Tower of Babel. So God confused the languages, divided the people even further, and would eventually call Abram a pagan, Gentile, idol worshiper to faith in the Lord. This same Abram will have his name changed to Abraham, and we are told that through him, all of the nations of the world would be blessed. And the reason that this is possible is because of the grace of God. He made Abraham the father of the Gentiles through faith and the father of the Hebrews by faith. From the Hebrews, the nation of Israel would be born. And over the course of time, Israel would represent the true and living God on the earth, guided by prophets and judges. They would eventually call for a king. And after Saul, God would raise up David and then announce that the throne of David would be established forever. And from King David's bloodline, the King of Kings would come, and the good news of the kingdom would be proclaimed. John the Baptist would serve as the forerunner for the Messiah and preach the kingdom of God. The Messiah would come as prophesied about, but the nation of Israel rejected the king because they were expecting a more political transformation without having a heart transformation for God. The disciples knew that Jesus was the Christ, but based on the scriptures, none of the disciples, including John the Baptist, understood that Jesus had to be crucified. After Jesus would be crucified, resurrected, spend time with those who truly believed in him, and be seated at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit would be poured out and the church would be born. Now, Jesus would be preached as the long-awaited Messiah, and the grace of God would empower the Apostle Peter to boldly reoffer the kingdom to the Jews again. But once again, they rejected the offer and commanded the disciples not to preach in the name of Jesus. And we know from the scriptures that they would obey God and continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And this is where we are now. And as we move forward, Here's the Apostle Paul. And we're told from the scriptures that the Apostle Paul was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And like we briefly touched on, the message to the Gentiles was exactly like it was to the father of the Gentiles, Abram, by faith alone, you are counted righteous. Now, I hope that we can see the amazing way that God's grace and promises continue to be revealed today before our eyes. Think about that. That covenant still stands from Abram, as well as the one from Abraham. As it is written, that through Abraham, all of the nations of the world would be blessed. In this way, that faith alone would be counted as righteousness, and our faith alone is in Christ. All the way back, that faith. Abram's faith was in God for a son. And our faith is in God in and through the Son. No works at all. None. For the times that we live in, as a church, no works, all because of what Jesus did, and also what was given to the church. And what was given to the church age that we live in? Oh my goodness. Amazing, as we will see. But none of that was known until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And we know that the Apostle Paul would see Jesus and learn from Jesus. This truth is also captured in the book of Acts, in chapter 26, verses 15 and 16. The Apostle Paul is telling what happened to him regarding his conversion, and it's recorded for us as the Word of God reads. So I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen," and listen, "and of the things which I will yet reveal to you." So, as the Lord would minister to and shape the Apostle Paul, he would give him special revelations concerning him, Jesus, and the church. This is what the Word of God speaks to. And this understanding makes the times that we are living in right now so unique. And knowing this, we can see how this plays out in the scriptures. Captured in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, the Apostle Paul speaking, as the Word of God reads, how that by revelation he, speaking of Jesus, made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Here, the Apostle Paul is expressing that this mystery was not made known until now, revealed to him. This mystery of Christ was given directly to the Apostle Paul by Jesus. This is that gospel of the grace of God, and it's one of a kind. And also, please note that in verse 5, we can clearly see that it was by the Holy Spirit that the other prophets and apostles of that day would come to understand. Because what he is speaking is not written about. He is not talking about the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, nor the kingdom that's captured in the Old Testament. That is not what he's saying. Because this mystery is told to us. He is talking about the body of Christ. This is the mystery. This is a new revelation that he was presenting to the church, that we are one body, no matter what, and that has many implications, good ones, by the way. And the Apostle Paul would speak about these revelations throughout the scriptures as they were revealed to him. We see more of the word that demonstrates that this was a secret, as captured in verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians chapter 3, as the word of God reads, "Listen, to me," it's the Apostle Paul, "who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ." Notice, it was not hidden in the Word of God. No, hidden in God himself. The scriptures also say that it is the glory of God to concealeth a thing. Does it not? In the Proverbs? And this is exactly what God has done. He concealed that matter. Why? It's for the glory of God to concealeth a thing. Are we tracking? The Apostle Paul would basically echo these words captured here in the book of Romans in chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. The word of God reads, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith." This mystery that was revealed to Paul now, in combination with the scriptures, gives us a whole different perspective, or it should, of the grace of God. So why else does this secret matter? Because in large part, it answers that question why most of the Jews back then were blinded. Could also play a part of why they are still blinded today. And the reason for that is because in the Old Testament, we have prophecies about the nation of Israel being the light to the Gentiles. That's in the scriptures. All nations would flock to the nation of Israel. And that will happen in the millennial kingdom. So this new revelation given to the Apostle Paul, would make the Jews very upset, to say the least. You feeling me? This would go against everything that was written, that they saw, and everything that they were taught. Narrow-minded. Even though the Apostle Paul was able to back up what he was saying by the power of God. But they didn't listen. Now, clearly this mystery of the body of Christ was not being preached by the disciples during the earthly ministry of Jesus. Do we understand this? It was not being preached. It was not until afterwards, when he was already seated at the right hand of the Father. We have to see this distinction. All of this is captured under the grace of God. But we must notice how God is revealing things to man over time. And none of this contradicts his promises, nor takes away from the gospel message. In fact, it takes the gospel message and magnifies it. That's what it does. As well as unlock a bunch of riches when it comes to the amazing word of God. This is that amazing grace. And we should be reminded that when it comes to the current blindness of Israel, that's for the benefit of many. It's to benefit all. All who can accept it. We have this captured in the book of Romans. You could join me there. It's in chapter 11, beginning in verse 25. Book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 25. The word of God reads, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob." You know, Israel today is not that godly. I hope we understand that. It is not. It is on par with America. No question. Verse 27. "For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins." That's going to happen, yet future. "Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers," the covenant. And check verse 29. "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." Please understand that statement. The callings of God, the gift, irrevocable. Who was called out of Haran? Abram. When you think about the callings of God, whatever he called, irrevocable, it will come to pass. Verse 30. "For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Do we see this? In the end, they all will be saved. And it's still because of this nation that we are all blessed. So, now we have the Apostle Paul being revealed and revealing mysteries of the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And he has one of the biggest mysteries that you all know too well concerning the church. And it often divides the church. And that is so sad. And that is dealing with the rapture of the church. And for me, and I pray all of you, it is an amazing mystery revealed because we have it in the scriptures. But for us this morning, I want to approach this from a very different perspective while prayerfully staying on message. Let's not forget that the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ was hidden with God until the Apostle Paul. Just keep that in mind. Now, as a church as a whole, let's just get to some common ground dealing with the resurrection of the dead, those in Christ. So it's safe to say that as Christians, we all believe in being resurrected. Can we get there? Praise God, because if not, we got some problems already. Now, with that said, we should take notice that when they tried to trip Jesus up about the resurrection, in his response, he would say that at the resurrection, they are neither male nor female, but are like angels of God in heaven. Sit with that for a second. I'm going to read it again because I love it. And I'm teaching. Are like angels of God in heaven. So the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit would tell us that at the resurrection, our bodies will become incorruptible. We are also told that we would meet the Lord in the air and forever be with the Lord. Amen. I know, right? I hope it happens before I'm done. In addition, consider this, that the church is called the body of Christ. The body of Christ. This was that overall great mystery that revealed other mysteries underneath it. But the great mystery is that we're called the body of Christ. So what happened to the body of Jesus after he was resurrected? Remember this account that he would tell Mary Magdalene not to touch him or cling onto him because he had not yet ascended to the Father? And then later on, he would tell Thomas, "Handle me. See that I am real." What? Don't cling on, don't touch, now handle me. Jesus. The reason why that happened is because sometime between the Mary account, Magdalene account, and Thomas account, Christ would ascend to the Father as the first fruits. This is part of the Levitical law. When they brought in the barley, the first fruits had to be inspected before the rest of it would be received. And now, having been accepted by the Father as the first fruits, the rest of the harvest will be received also. So when you begin to look at the whole counsel of God and the proper context and rightly divide the word while having this mystery revealed and we understand it, so much more points directly to this catching away that will occur. And we have not even looked at the verses that directly point to it. No need. With all of that said, before the fall of man, we know that Satan fell along with a portion of the heavenly host. Right? Now, within the body of Christ, think about this. Once we are transformed as angels of God in heaven, any heavenly ranks that were lost during that fall of those celestial beings can now easily be replaced with those who are of the body of Christ, who again will forever be with the Lord. Back in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, now this hidden mystery was kept in God. We still tracking that? Now revealed to Paul, it was kept in God. And we're going to continue on in verse 10. The word of God reads, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, and listen here, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do we make the connection? Praise the Lord. And some of this may be hard to fully grasp, but listen to this, those principalities. They understand this, at least most of them, I would say, as they continue to learn as well. And it's for this reason that I believe aspects of this mystery are attacked all the time. Why? Because the principalities that left their natural estate don't want us to know this grace that they willfully abandon. Are you connecting the dots? Now, we can get into so many other biblical truths when it comes to the rapture of the church. But again, there's no time for one. In my opinion, no need. We should remember this, that no flesh shall glory in the presence of the Lord. And guess what? You do not win any brownie points with God by going through the tribulation. Yeah. You don't get a special tribulation badge. It's not going to happen. And you know what? If many of you churches did not trust God through COVID, now all of a sudden, you got some Superman cape on, right? I say this in love, because if you believe that the church is appointed to wrath, your rightly dividing of the word is skewed at best, completely unlacking. You have no idea. I just want to say that, like, maybe you have no idea. Maybe you have not read the scriptures, and it's just been taught that way. Read the scriptures for yourself and understand the church is not appointed to wrath. Now, being persecuted by the world is not the same as the wrath of God. facing trials and tribulations of the world is not the same as being punished by God. The wrath of God is for a purpose, and it's not for the church. Again, read the scriptures, or greatly will you err, and it does no one any good. Now, we continue our history of grace once the church is raptured. Please know that the word of God will still be preached. Understand that. Now, it may be scarce, but it will be because the word of God never passes away. It will be preached. And it's still good news, all by the grace of God, even during the time of judgment. But it does not come with the same benefits that the church age has, this body of Christ. To die in Christ during the church age or to be raptured is the ultimate grace of God. This is the mystery of the body that's being expressed. But to die before you come to Christ in the church age leaves you hopeless. And as I alluded to have to go into the tribulation, the grace of God will be nowhere near the grace that's being offered to each of us today. Because when the tribulation begins, the whole of the good news of the grace of God will be preached. But again, not with the same amazing grace that we have as the church. Do you understand that? Someone converts in the tribulation, they're not raptured. That's one aspect. The next one is the Holy Spirit will be removed. And when I say the whole of the gospel, I believe that we can track it back to the beginning. That will be proclaimed during that time frame, because many will recognize that the mystery of the gospel has occurred. One aspect of it, and they will refuse the system of the beast. It's called out in the scriptures. And the anticipated Messiah for salvation will be spoken of. All of the nations of the Gentiles, they will all hear it. Everyone. And the people that were called, being the Jews, will have 144,000 sealed with the seal of God as witnesses. And they're going to speak about the throne of David and preach the kingdom of God. And cry out, proclaim Jesus as the Messiah, King of Kings. But instead of faith alone, they will be telling everyone that they must endure until the end in order to be saved. You cannot take that mark. Do you understand? Because during that time period, the only resurrection that would happen would be for the two witnesses. And these two witnesses will be called out and will come with power and authority, proving the word of God. Think about that. And his continuance of grace. Are we seeing this? So he brings two witnesses that perform all kinds of miracles. And though most will refuse, God has one more plan. The everlasting gospel to repent and fear God that will be preached by an angel. Do we see this? Yeah. In the hopes that a few would come to the Lord. This is the last hurrah. The angel. Before the climax of the wrath of the Lamb. In that wrath, the church is not appointed to. Now, in all of this, I hope that we understand that God's judgment upon sinful man actually highlights his divine grace that's offered to the whole of humanity. Do we see where we are? And for each of us during this church age, we have an opportunity to capitalize on the greatest aspect of His grace offered throughout history. That's us. And God chooses to disperse His grace any way He wills. That's His choice. We have this truth captured in the book of Exodus, in chapter 33, verse 19. The word of God reads as the Lord speaks to Moses. Then He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. The Apostle Paul would quote these words in Romans chapter 9 and verse 15 as well. And as we rapidly went through all of this, if we cannot see the overwhelming love that God has towards man, something is definitely wrong with us. Do we see what God did throughout humanity and continues to do? For sinful man, that's us. It's above and beyond the scope of anything that we can define as grace. And only God can make this happen this way. And to think about it, is all of it, when you look at it, points to Jesus. All of it does. And believe it or not, there's more grace that we could expound on, because the grace of God is eternal. But there's one more major aspect of God's grace that we should note, especially as it pertains to the church. Notice, again, the church is not only taken out, but the church of God has a special occasion that will happen in heaven. And that is the marriage of the Lamb. It's exclusively for the body of Christ. That great mystery of the gospel that the Apostle Paul would write by the Spirit of God. Think about us. We are in a special category. We're also told in the scriptures that we, the church, will be judging angels. And you go back to what we talked about earlier and start connecting those dots. Very unique, the church is. Because again, for the first time in human history, the Spirit of God will indwell those who believe. Never done it before. It's the church that ushered in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then think about this, having a part of the inheritance and an opportunity to reign and rule with Christ. That goes beyond words. All of this, and we're still sinners. But God's grace still stands. So again, I ask this first service, how do we respond to such grace? What is our response to this? I mean, we will never be able to fully understand the grace of God. I know, but the pieces that we do, how do we respond to that? Think about it. It's been said that grace stands for God rewards at Christ's expense. We're rewarded for something we don't deserve. At Christ's expense. How true is that? Now, looking at all of this, I pray that we have seen the apex of God's grace towards man, while understanding that the grace of God has indeed always been with man. God's plan of grace throughout history is one that can't be fabricated. That alone should just draw us to the word, like, oh my goodness, and to the God of our salvation all the more. Again, we have the Gospels called out in the Scriptures that all point to Christ, but they have specific aspects of God's grace that should not be ignored. We should never rob the fullness of what God is demonstrating, because it's in that fullness that we can better appreciate the grace that we have and then be more excited to be able to express that grace to others. Are we tracking? And that's what I want to do right now. Share this amazing grace to those who do not know Jesus or do not believe in Jesus. First of all, why do you need Jesus? Okay. Because you have a soul inside of you that God gave to man, and that soul is infected with the disease of sin. And absent this grace of God that only comes by his Son, when you die, you will await judgment of damnation. Instead of a judgment filled with mercy and grace. These are the facts of the matter. All of this pointing to Christ is to show you how God is so great. These are not some blanket statements, cursory reads. When we get into the Word and we see it like this, you can't deny it. I've heard some non-believers who are familiar with aspects of the Bible say that, oh, well, once the church is removed, the rapture really happens, then I'll believe. Now, that's a gamble with your soul. A gamble that most, I don't believe, who come to that conclusion will win. I just don't see it like that. We know many will be saved. But who's to say that would be you? And if it's all about seeing to believe, so when the church is raptured, then I'll believe. Okay, do yourself a favor. Look at the world right now and compare it to the Scriptures. You can see everything as it is written. So if you want to see to believe, just crack open the Bible, look at the world. Debased mind, we talked about that before. You know how many debased minds we see? There is a new social movement called the Socialist Party of America Democracy, some weird name. I encourage you, if you don't even, no, don't look at it. Just don't. Because it shows how the mind is so debased. Just as the Word of God speaks to. These people need Jesus so bad. At least just take a vested interest in your own soul. Prophecy is being revealed day to day. Sometimes hour by hour, just look at Israel. And we can go down the line and you will see that it's not getting better. It's just not. And why would you attempt to wait until the tribulation? A time of a judging kind of grace instead of this amazing grace that's being offered today. And people should stop making excuses about, well, you know, this Christian did that, or this church did this to me, and that and the third. Really? Jesus. Don't blame sinful man. Speak to Jesus. Nothing that anyone does will ever take away from what Jesus has done and what grace he offers. And I encourage you, choose Jesus and become a part of his mysterious body by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and he will return as King of Kings. And it's ABC, simple to be saved. First, by acknowledging first that you are a sinner, we all are, and we need a Savior. And that Savior's only one, the narrow road, the narrow path, Jesus. Romans 3:10 says that as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No matter how good people think they are, they will not come close to the righteousness of God. As shown in chapter 6 and verse 23 as well, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's the A. The B stands for believe, while the C stands for confess with your mouth. Both are captured also in the book of Romans in chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. The word of God reads that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believe that he was raised from the dead, so we ourselves can be raised in his likeness. This is just a simple way to get saved. This free gift of the grace of the true and living God. God wants us to be reconciled to him. He loves us. And his word speaks to this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The word of God says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but again, is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, this kind of grace is one of a kind. So why don't you do the kind? And come to this grace that God offers us today. Why don't we stand and pray and ask for God's blessing. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Your grace is just amazing. We don't have the words for what you would do for humanity and how you would love us so much. And Lord, we're so thankful. Help us to recognize this amazing grace. Help us to proclaim your amazing grace with boldness. Your word is the only truth that can save mankind. And may we go forth in that grace, relying and counting on your grace, demonstrate such grace because of you. We love you and thank you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray. Amen.